B-Pod Studios.
And very happy to have joining us right now from The Athletic. Does a great job covering the Eagles. Zach Berman joining us right now on the show. Zach, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, so much for that period of time right before training camp is supposed to start for it to be all quiet on Eagles front. But that's not the case as we speak, is it?
No, this is technically my vacation. But they were a little busier than I probably anticipated this week.
Yeah, and I read your story, and you know, I know you tweeted it out about what Jeffrey Lurie had to say back in 2014 when you had an exclusive sit down with him regarding Riley Cooper, and that he said that Chip Kelly at that time led the way in determining Riley Cooper's future, but ultimately the owner signs off on every element of this team, especially of that magnitude, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. You can't necessarily absolve Jeffrey of it. I do think you kind of need to put yourself in the context of 2013. And I do think there's also been some revisionist history too, acting as if like it wasn't a big deal. And it was
totally agree.
Yeah. It was the biggest story of the summer. It was the biggest story of, you know, it followed Riley Cooper throughout his time in Philadelphia. Even to the point, I remember when they cut him, it was the headline in the paper 2 years later. So, it was a big deal at the time. You know, there were two statements by Jeffrey Lurie. Riley Cooper did an impromptu press conference. Chip Kelly did an impromptu press conference. Now, that doesn't mean they handled it correctly. And certainly there were far more disciplinary actions that could have been taken, whether you're talking about suspension or being released. That's definitely a reasonable conversation and perhaps something that they should have done. But it was a huge deal then, and it really reverberated around the locker room.
Zach, when you look at the situation now, and a lot of people want to use the Riley Cooper situation as a precedent on how they should handle this situation, albeit 7 years later, what is the organization, Jeffrey Lurie, what are the Eagles considering, if you have any input on that, as to how to discipline DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, so the first part of that, in terms of the precedent, my guess is that if the Eagles had to do it over again, they would have done it differently. And I'm not saying that based on something that's been said to me. I'm saying that based on just when you see how it played out and the equity that they spent on kind of vouching for Riley Cooper. I think that's a poor precedent from the Eagles' perspective, because they should have done it. I'm not going to say could have. They should have handled that differently. Now, as far as DeSean, I don't foresee them doing anything beyond what has happened. And if they do, I don't foresee it being anything that has a material effect on the season. So I don't anticipate a suspension. I don't anticipate him getting cut. I guess you never say never, but my guess is the way that they've handled it here, and perhaps there are things that they do internally with DeSean, but I would be surprised, especially given the precedent that you mentioned, and especially the fact that we're already, you know, a few days later, if they were to take significant action against DeSean.
Yeah, and
nor do I think they should, by the way.
Okay, and in their statement, you know, they condemned obviously what he said, and they want him to going forward to educate and use this as an opportunity to bring awareness. We'll see if that happens with DeSean. Michael Vick, when they signed him, you know, obviously followed through on the things he said he would do. It's different than this, but, you know, in the same regard, Michael Vick did do that. As the team's preparing for training camp, Zach, and this is kind of, you know, the storyline, in a very uncertain time from a health perspective with a pandemic, how is, you know, everybody else involved with the organization and team and players? We've seen some players chime in and catch some flack for it as well, having to kind of answer for themselves in regards to this. That can't be good for the team.
I hear you there, although I do think this is going to be a different summer relative to what you've seen in the past. First off, not going to have all these reporters in the locker room and you know, kind of hounding these guys every day about it, number one. You know, I think there's enough time between now and when camp starts that I don't anticipate this being a major story. I could be wrong, and certainly that's not to condone what Deshaun put out there. I mean, it's wrong, it's abhorrent, and I believe it came from a place of ignorance, but I don't believe that's an excuse. That being said, I would be surprised if, you know, in mid-August, for instance, when they're trying to adjust to all these changes that are happening with training camp, when they're trying to figure out what preseason is going to look like, if there are any, you know, if there is any, what the season's going to look like, all these other dynamics at play, I would be surprised if this is a major storyline in August. That doesn't mean it should go away, but, you know, these things tend to move quickly when much else is going on, and much else is going to be going on this summer.
Talking with Zach Berman from The Athletic, covers the Eagles, does a great job. Zach, one thing that could kind of put an end date on this quicker is if the owner and GM or GM or just or both of them were to have an availability to speak on this issue. Is there any plan for Jeff Lurie to make himself available at this time?
Not that I've heard. That would frankly be uncharacteristic of Jeffrey.
He
didn't talk after Deshaun's situation in 2013. You know, he did put out two statements, but he hasn't put out a statement so far. There's only been a team statement, but I think that this is something that would be handled internally as opposed to something they try to draw more publicity and attention to. Now, you could argue that this is an opportune time for someone with authority to raise awareness for it or to bring attention to it. If they haven't yet, I don't think it's something like 2 weeks later they pick their head up and say, all right, you guys remember that story from 2 weeks ago? Now ask me about it.
Yeah, they don't want to rehash it. It coincidentally, it does coincide with a movie release for Jeffrey Lurie's production company in regards to Hitler as well, which is kind of maybe an ironic twist. Let's focus on camp right now and where the NFL is. I saw Ian Rappaport's report earlier today that there's still a lot of work to do for the NFL. They got 18 days out now until camp officially begins. Have the coaches reported and they go into, I guess, testing and quarantine immediately?
Yeah, close. I mean, I'm losing track of my dates here, but certainly close to it, and from everything I've heard, you know, everything's on schedule now. So I understand that the numbers aren't good around the country and that there's far bigger things going on than football, but from what I gather, you know, they're planning to be there at the end of July. They're planning to practice at the end of July, and it's going to go on as scheduled. I do think that the preseason is something that's still up in the air, but as far as like there being training camp, I haven't heard otherwise.
Tom Pelissero had an interesting report yesterday. I'm not sure if you saw it in regards to players at the end of games not being able to kind of congregate on the field within 6 feet, can't exchange jerseys. Which I thought was an odd report because these guys had just sweat all over each other, blocking each other, tackling, played 60 minutes of football, but they can't talk after the game. You know, the NFL is trying to handle this as best they can. Is there going to be a couple of preseason games in your estimation where they got to travel with an expanded roster and do all of those things, or do you likely see preseason games in total going by the wayside?
I wouldn't be surprised if they went by the wayside. You know, the plan now is for two. And, you know, I know the NFLPA came out and said, you know, they don't want there to be a preseason. I don't think preseason is necessary per se. You know, the plan now, as I said, is for two. And you bring up a good point about, you know, there's no real right way to do this. You can try to limit, interaction as much as you can. And the NFL is putting out a lot of rules to do so. But the reality is, for 3 hours every week, no matter what you do, if you're playing a game, they're hitting each other, they're touching each other, they're breathing on each other. There's no way around that. And you know, whatever safeguards they put in, I think that it needs to come with, you know, a certain degree of like risk tolerance from the people on the field and from the people on the sideline, because, you know, you're not going to fundamentally change football.
One of the things that Ian Rapoport also reported that no fans will be at training camp, but teams can have two fan events at stadiums this preseason with strict protocols allowing them to watch, I guess, a practice via like kind of like a flight night like the Eagles have done in the past. Do you know if there's any plans for them to open up the stadium and do something like that so fans can, albeit a smaller crowd, socially distance and watch the team practice?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Would be an interesting idea. Have not heard it specifically. Frankly, a lot of the conversations that I've been having have been almost selfish. Me trying to be able to get in there and watch practice, you know, because there are a lot of changes this year in terms of what the media is allowed to see. So I know from, you know, from conversations that the Eagles are still in the process of figuring all this out. The NFL. Still in the process of figuring all this out. And the one thing that keeps getting reiterated to me, and I think it's a valid point, is that this is dynamic. You know, like 3 weeks ago, the conversation was different than it is now. 3 weeks from now, the conversation might be different too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the adage, I'm not the first one saying it, but that, you know, the virus is in charge. And I think that is something that needs to be remembered, that, you know, they have plans, and there's been a lot of thought put into this, but they're going to be reactive as much as they are proactive.
So technically they haven't made a decision on if any fans will be at home Eagle games at this point, I would assume as well.
No. So I haven't heard what one way or the other. I know that the Ravens and the Jaguars have come out with announcements about a limited capacity. If fans are allowed, I think in Baltimore, it's 14,000. I think in Jacksonville, it's one third of the stadium. And I also know that they're going to have to be working with the city and state authorities on that for how many are allowed to convene as it is. So, you know, certainly the city and the state's going to have their say.
Zach, when you look at the situation with no off-season program, basically, you know, not bringing players in for OTAs, mandatory mini camps and all those things, you know, that gives a lot of players, bubble players, if you will, a very decreased opportunity to put play on tape to help their opportunity to make a team. How's that going to affect the ultimate roster decisions? It will be more veterans and less young guys maybe that you would take a chance on that maybe surprised you in those sessions and preseason and kind of going with the known commodity more in the situation?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think if especially if training camp or preseason is limited, then it would certainly hurt the undrafted players who they haven't seen. And then, you know, maybe some fringe players, some players coming off injuries. I think those are the players who it would hurt. And you'll probably go with either a more veteran team or a team of players with more familiarity, with your scheme. Now, that being said, if they're at training camp for 6 weeks, I do think that gives the coaches enough time to evaluate some of these undrafted guys. And, you know, there's a lot made the preseason, and the preseason is important. But still, if they're able to practice for 6 weeks, then some of these guys like Graylin Arnold, the defensive back from Baylor, and a few of the other undrafted guys who are on the bubble, I think the coaches will at least get some look at them. And then the other thing to consider, too, is that practice squads have expanded. And, you know, they'll have more chance to keep guys around. But what would really hurt those undrafted players is if rosters are limited in size during the summer and they need to make those cuts before they even see guys. That obviously would really be prohibitive.
We're talking with Zach Berman from The Athletic, covers the Eagles. Zach, when you look at this Eagles team, they already lost Brandon Brooks. That's a huge loss on that offensive line. We know the effect of, you know, when he's in the lineup and when he's not. You and I talked about it right after that injury.
Yeah.
This team, when you go into this season, you know, they're aging in a lot of areas. They got some older players. You know, do you feel like you know what this team is going to be for this 2020 season, especially with so many variables of, you know, coronavirus and everything all said and done? Is this a team that you expect to be around a 10-win team when you look at it on paper? When we looked at it on paper last year, we loved it. Didn't work out quite as expected. Yeah. But where are you on the quality of this Eagles team heading into 2020?
Well, if they can stay healthy, and obviously that's a big if. You know, I think they're in a position where, I think they're in a position of strength because they have continuity at the head coaching spot. They have continuity at the quarterback spot. I think their defense is going to be better. I do think they have a lot of holes that are going to be hard to just wipe away. And I do think wide receiver is still a question mark. And what's going to happen to right guard? And you have questions at linebacker. But I think overall, the fact that the defensive line is going to be better. I think the secondary with Darius Slay, that's really going to help them. And even at spots where they're counting on some new faces or some position changes or some player changes, they're players who've been around. So Jalen Mills has been here. Matt Pryor, he's been here. Nate Gary, he's been here. So I think that continuity will help them, especially when you compare it to some of the teams such as Washington and the Giants that are undergoing major changes with the coaching staff and with the scheme.
Yeah, that's a disadvantage for those teams with Ron Rivera in Washington and Joe Judge with the Giants and now Jason Garrett, the offensive coordinator. Last thing for you, Zach. What I know to be true, like I always say, the list of things that we're uncertain about or we don't know right now far outweighs the things we do. What I know is diving into a really good book right now is a good distraction, and you got a great one in Underdogs. If you want to relive something that gives you a lot of enjoyment, you got to check out your book, Underdogs, about the Eagles that won the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. You know, I was going to say it's good for like a beach day, but there's no beach today. It's good for a rainy day if you're stuck at home and looking for something to read. It really gets in the details on the characters and the moments that made that Super Bowl team special.
Yeah, they got to make that into a movie. They got to make your book into a movie because the one thing you'll never hear me say is the book was better than the movie because I'm not much of a reader because I'm not, you know, I have ADD. But it is a great book, and I have read it, and you did great work on it. So I appreciate you checking in with us today. Good luck with everything, man. I know it's going to be a different situation for you guys covering the team as well. We appreciate you taking the time.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Zach Berman on the Comcast Business Hotline, and you can give him a follow on Twitter, @ZBerm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.